You're listening to
Mike and Trisha on 93.1 KISS FM.
I got to tell you, I am just as confused with the math for Yasmin's Ask a Lawyer question as well. So perhaps Michael Gopin, Ask a Lawyer, can kind of like flesh this out for us.
Okay, so
there is math involved.
Uh-oh. And neither you nor I are any good at math. Okay, so Yasmin writes that she was recently in an accident. The police report says that it was the other party at fault. But when she was talking to the insurance agent, they said that Yasmin is 20% at fault for the accident. And she says, I'm not sure why. If the police report says the other party is at fault, then how can I be 20% liable for this accident? Not sure if this makes any sense.
Well, Yasmin, it happens all the time, actually. In Texas, they have what they call comparative negligence, which means in any given accident, one party could be 100% at fault, they could be 99% at fault, they could be 80% at fault, they can be 50% at fault, or any number in between. So what the insurance adjuster is trying to do is they're really trying to save money, but what they're trying to do is blame you partially for this accident. In other words, maybe you were going too fast. Maybe you could have avoided the accident by turning right. Maybe there was something else involved.
So what they're doing is they're reading the police report, and they're coming up with this on their own. It's not like the police wrote it in there.
Right. No, the police didn't write it in there, and the police rarely do that anyway. But
yeah. They just write down the facts of the accident, mm-hmm. and then the insurance right. adjuster is looking into the facts, and they're going, oh, well, she could have gone slower, or
exactly.
blah, blah, blah.
She could have turned left. She could have turned right. She could have braked her. You know, all these kind of things. I don't know the facts of this particular accident, but it happens all the time. I mean, I've seen cases where it's a stop sign case, and someone runs a stop sign, and well, you could have avoided it. You could have
seen the car coming.
Right. I mean, and you know, what happens in that case is either you argue and you try to get that number down to zero or less, or you can file a lawsuit and have a jury decide that number, because when you go to court, the jury will determine the same thing that the insurance adjuster is trying to determine right now. They're going to say, okay, was the plaintiff at fault? Was the defendant at fault? And if they were, what percentage? So it adds up to 100, but it could be anything in between, mm-hmm. between 100, 0, 80, 20, or whatever it turns out to be.
Is this a situation where you are better off with a lawyer representing you? Or is it a situation where you're better off just saying, okay, fine?
Well, it depends on the facts of this accident, and it depends on how much the damage to the car is. I mean, let's just say it's $30,000 of the damage, 20%, $6,000. So it's a lot of money. If it's $300 and it's 20%, it's $60. So it's probably not worth it. So it just depends on the exact facts of how much damage we're talking about here, and if there was an injury also, because this 20% goes to the injury claim also, so it'll reduce your injury claim by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be definitely a case for a lawyer, depending on the facts. Really.
Okay, all
but
right.
But mostly, if you go to a lawyer with this kind of thing, and you do the math for them, you're going to tell them, "Look, you know what? This is not worth your time and effort, because it's not worth your time and effort as a lawyer."
Well, it depends. I mean, yeah, and also it depends on how much money we're talking about.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. But like, if it was a $600 case,
yeah,
you'd probably tell them, look, there's no point here.
Yeah, they're better off.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, they're better off eating the 20%.
Right, exactly.
Right, because to go to court, it's going to cost them more money than the 20% anyway.
Right, yeah, right,
so,
yeah, I mean,
and way more than the $600.
Sure,
so, yeah.
Sure. It's Michael Gopin, Ask a Lawyer on Mike and Trisha Mornings.
Idam says, "Can I file a case against my employer? I was injured on the job, and they're refusing to pay my medical bills. They did help me when the incident first happened, but now my medical bills are starting to pile up from the accident, and they don't want to help me with any of it anymore."
Okay, well, good question. The question, first of all, is whether they have workers' comp insurance or not. If they have workers' comp insurance, you just have to file a workers' comp claim. The employer is not involved, and you go through the workers' comp commission to make your claim. In this case, I'm thinking that there's probably not workers' comp, by the way she wrote the question. So what they call that is called a non-subscriber type of case. Okay, non-subscriber means you're not subscribing to the workers' comp carrier. In that case, the employer is not automatically liable for your damages. You have to prove that they were negligent, that they did something wrong. But it's different than the car accident case we just talked about. In this case, as long as you can prove they're at least 1% negligent, you could have been 99% negligent, then the employer is responsible. So you just have to show that they did something wrong, even if it was very minor, that caused the accident, and then they're going to be responsible for the bills. You'd have to go to court, perhaps, and file a lawsuit. There's many lawyers that do this type of cases. The issue then again is also how big your employer is and if they're going to be judgment-proof, because many employers are also judgment-proof these days. And there's usually not insurance involved in these type of cases. So it's...
Okay, wait a minute. Not every employer has workman's comp insurance? They don't have to have it?
That's not required. So there's many companies that do not have workers' comp. They're go bare, they call it. And they just take on the risk themselves.
Hey, we're a family show. Don't say things like that.
It's a legal term.
Okay, all right, okay.
No insurance.
This is Ask a Lawyer.
I made him blush. Look at the poor guy.
Legalese.
He's dying. He's like, oh, God. And Arturo says, I recently had a hernia mesh repaired for the third time, and I don't think this one's going to work either. Can you tell me more about the hernia mesh cases? Do I have a possible claim against my doctor for medical malpractice? What should I do next?
Well, this is a case that you definitely will need a lawyer. There's a hernia mesh cases going around that it's not against the doctor. It's against the manufacturer of the mesh. It was defective, and it's causing injuries to people and causing to have revisions and surgery and pain and all sorts of complications and problems. So I would advise you to give us a call. We could help you with this. The requirements are basically you need to have a revision. You need to have the hernia mesh surgery, have all these problems and issues, and then get it fixed in order to have a case that typically lawyers will accept. And after the hernia mesh surgery had to have been done after 2008, that's when the defective hernia mesh material started to be used. So those are the minor requirements, and these cases take a long time. It's a big class action case. There's thousands and thousands and thousands throughout the country, and you know, it's really painful. I feel really bad for you that you've had all these problems with it, and it may not resolve your problem. I hope it does, the third one.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have a case, and it's not against the doctor. It'll be against the hernia mesh manufacturer.
Okay, we'll be right back. And when we come back, we have one last question for Michael Gopin, Ask a Lawyer. And it has to do with defective earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have served and you're having some issues, then stick around and let's get to the bottom of that one. Next on Mike and Tricia Morning.